I'm in Chicago here. I'm about to leave my hotel, go check out a couple neighborhoods tonight. I'm just going to talk on the phone like I'm talking on the phone and see how that goes. See if nobody notices, you know, as I'm walking. So here we go. I'm kind of in the middle of downtown here, right near the famous Rock and Roll McDonald's, which is pretty exciting. You know how I am about McDonald's and rock and roll. Two of my favorite things have finally combined into one. But, you know. All right, here we go. So that's, that's the city noise. I was at my grandma's there. Went to visit her because she'd, took a spill on the stairs a couple weeks ago, which was too bad. I wanted to visit her and see how she was doing and all that stuff. It turned out she was, I don't know, she's okay. You know, she keeps doing the thing where she's saying she feels better, but not good. You know, that's kind of the diagnosis there. It's weird, you know, you go there and, I mean, I guess my grandma, you know, she broke her hip when we were pretty young. But, so she's never, I've always known her, you know, she had a cane and everything. But, in the last couple years, and then now going there, you know, she didn't walk too much. She walked a little bit, maybe to the kitchen and back and stuff like that. So, you know, I'd help her walk to the kitchen or helped her, you know, in and out of her chair a couple times. You know, that's, you basically just pick her up. I mean, she kind of bear hugs you, except she's like a very thin old bear. And then you kind of guide her into the chair, and then you have to go behind the chair, and there's a blanket, you know, and you pull it up so she's got her hips back in the chair and everything. I mean, it's pretty rough going. I don't know, it's funny, like, the house, too, it's got, you know, they got the bars everywhere and the bathroom and stuff, so she doesn't fall down. It's a weird feeling. It's funny, because it's like, your house kind of turns into this public bathroom and everything, you know, in some ways. And then, you know, other ways, it's not so public. Like, there was a, you know, a lawn chair in the shower. Because, you know, so she can sit in there. But, you know, and there's like this rotating cast of nurses and stuff that come to help her shower or help her. She broke her arm and help her with that. You know, a lot of people coming in and out and all that shit. It's funny because it's like your bathroom kind of turns into a public. Oh, here's the Rainforest Cafe. I didn't even know that was still a fucking place. That's unbelievable. There's a big frog on it. I mean, it looks kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese. I could see why that would be appealing. You know, oh, and Hard Rock Cafe. I mean, given a choice, okay, Rock and Roll McDonald's, Rainforest Cafe, and Hard Rock Cafe. I mean, I'd probably take McDonald's just because I would know the miserable time would be short, you know. Get in and out of there quicker and be unhappy for a shorter time, at least. Anyway, saying it's funny because, you know, my gram, it's like, you get old, your life becomes oddly public, you know, because it's, everyone's coming in to help you do stuff, and all the doors are off, you know, all your house and all that. She'd probably die if, you know, whatever, but, you know, she goes in to pee, and you can't close the door because she's got this big stool thing in the way that she has to sit on. So, you know, you hear your grandma peeing. I mean, that's just what happens. It's very, very odd. Everything, yeah, it's just very public all of a sudden. Got picked up and dropped off by good old Uncle John there. So he was pretty good. I mean, he's like, I got you a pizza there, you know. I called him and told him, I was like, my plane's about 20 minutes late, and, you know, so I'll be there about, he's like, so you think they'll be there about 7? And I was like, yeah, I think 7, that sounds about right. So, you know, I get on the off the plane, and at 6:45, he called me. He's like, "Where are you at, Pete? Call me when you get this. I'm driving in a circle there." So I get out, and he's like, "I got you a pizza." And, you know, of course, by "got me a pizza," he means he made this whole pizza. And it's funny, because, you know, he's got these... He made this pizza, but it looked like a legit pizza. I mean, we all know, those who know me know how I feel about homemade pizza, which is, I don't understand it most of the time, because most of the time you eat it, you know, and number one, it takes a lot of time, whereas just getting a pizza takes no time. And the other thing is, it's usually not that good. I mean, sometimes it's okay, but 9 times out of 10, let's put it this way, Little Caesars, I mean, I'll eat that and just have an immediate diarrhea. But I enjoy the eating part of it more than most homemade pizzas. Whereas most homemade pizzas, I probably don't diarrhea. But the eating part, I don't enjoy. And if you're having pizza, I don't know, I think the eating part's, I mean, it's not a health food, so the eating part's a good experience, right? So we made this pizza, but it was fucking good, man. It was real, real good, as he would probably put it. Made a real good pizza there. Got the pepperoni. That's Boar's Head pepperoni. Good stuff. Got the cheese. That's not, you know, shredded cheese. That's real cheese. Mozzarella. And something else. Parmesan or something. It's like, wanted to get the basil on there, but, you know, my basil plants. I didn't go oversee the basil plants this year. So... I get home and I'm eating this pizza, then it's good. It's fucking really good, you know. And he starts telling me how he's got to go to work, you know, that night. So he's going out the door and he's like, "Pepperoni, that's probably $1, maybe. Cheese, 40 cents. I mean, you can see him adding it up in his head, and he's kind of like, "This is a cheap pizza overall. I mean, that's pretty fucking good for being that cheap." But then, you know, he comes to the box. Because this was in a legit pizza box. And so apparently what happened is some restaurant went out of business and he bought all their pizza boxes, you know, because he's in this pizza making hobby. And that was the touch, you know, which I gotta say, getting a pizza in a pizza box, maybe that's what we're all missing with our homemade pizza. I mean, maybe there's something to that. Maybe if everyone, they should sell a thing that's like a Tupperware or something, but it's a pizza box, you know, so you can make a pizza, take it somewhere whole, maybe it's got a cutting board bottom, so you can just cut it right there in the box, and not have to throw it away, you know, because he's doing the math, and cheese, 40 cents, all that, but then he gets to, the box, that was probably $1, you know, the box completely blew his fucking price point right out of the water, which is too bad, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I had my normal airport problems, of course. A long wait there, because my flight was a little delayed. So I was just saying, because, you know, I think this might be the first time I drank at the airport. I usually just don't, because, I don't know. I don't know why. But I did this time. And, I mean, there's really no better time to drink, because as I was getting on that flight, I wouldn't be driving again for 5 days or something. I mean, there's no way I would have driven. So, you know, I had a drink, but it occurred to me when I was drinking there that what you should do, like, if you have a family or something, or friends you're flying with, you should tell them that you're a super nervous flyer, you know, and be like, "This is really, I know this is gonna sound bad, like I have a dependency, but if I have some booze before I get on the flight, I'll be totes fine." You know, which would work perfectly, because I'm totes fine, and I'm not a nervous flyer or anything. Like, when they were de-icing the plane, I mean, it's funny with flying, I mean, this probably is why a lot of accidents happen, because the pilots get jaded this way. I mean, they're de-icing the plane, and I'm like, "Jesus Christ, hurry it up, it doesn't have to be perfect. Let's go, let's get off the ground or crash, let's just start doing whatever we're doing." Yeah, I should probably stop saying this. I still gotta fly home. But, you know, so we, if you did that, though, if you told them you just needed a couple drinks, I think other people would start being, you know, you'd get to the airport and you'd have someone else be like, ooh, did you have any drinks yet? You better make sure you have those drinks, you know? Which would be a real nice situation to be in, I think. There's also, you know, they always have posters at the airport about different cities, but there was a series that was about the Make-A-Wish thing. You know, it was like, Billy, age 10, wanted to go on a cruise to Cancun, which I was like, okay, there are three kids. They're all on cruises to, you know, southern parts, the warm island tropical shit. So I was like, really, is that, does Make-A-Wish just get a deal? Because it doesn't seem like something kids would really be into, but whatever. So, the last one, I couldn't help it, was this girl. And she was on, you know, a cruise or whatever. But she also, for some reason, had braces. You know, I felt like the biggest dick of all time. But I was like, wait, isn't Make-A-Wish for dying kids? I mean, if you're not going to make it more than a couple years, what are you doing with the braces, you know? Right over the river here. This is pretty nice. Cold as balls, but nice. Had to stop at my motel and put on extra layers and shit. But yeah, I was thinking, you know, I'm going to hell. But before I got my braces, I went and got a physical. I mean, part of it was because I hadn't been to the doctor in 10 years or something. But part of it, too, was I was thinking, well, I mean, if I'm going to pass away anytime soon, I don't want to get braces at 28 and die at 32 of cancer, you know? Let's just make sure. I'm not saying it can't happen. But let's just, you know, hedge our bets a little and could use that $7,000 for a funeral or some shit like that. Alright, well, I'm about to get on the train. But, I'll talk to you later. Maybe it'll start like I'm, you know, doing a phone call, so it looks like I'm doing a phone call. Alright, love you, sweetie. Bye. Alright guys, good morning. We're headed to, headed back out. First stop, Donut Place, hopefully. Apparently the way this joint works is, I can't get my fucking door open. Hang on. You know, you're staying at a quality establishment. I mean, this happened in the bathroom, too. I was sort of locked in by how shitty it was. You know, because you're like, I think I could break this door down before I can make it work properly. That's how fundamentally broken this place is. You know, the door is so busted that it would be easier for me to just break it. But, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to break a door. I mean, actually, I do. I really do. Who doesn't? One time in their life want to bust the door down, but it's not really where I'm headed today. Any rate, headed to a donut place that, they do this thing. There's a chicken place in Denver that does this, too, where it's like, okay, we open at 8, and then, when do we close? When we run out of shit, you know. And,
I think it's a shrewd business move, actually. I think that it's a plan, you know, because they figure, well,
all right, if we do it that way, you know, even if the product's not good, people are going to get all excited because they're going to think they did something special that you can't just go do and replicate now. You know what I mean? You can't just go and go to this place because it's only, you know, it's only open till, I don't know, 10, 11, something. You don't even know. That's the thing. There's no way to know. You pretty much have to just decide to get there early. You know, I set an alarm for 8 and 9. Again, I mean, it's like my great sleep plans where the basic of it is, well, set my alarm 3 times, you know, because I know I'm not going to want to get up at the first one. But the second one, maybe. And then the third one is kind of like the, all right, well, you have to get up now. So, you know, I hit the second one, so that's not so bad. The place I'm staying, you know, talking about the shittiness of the doors there is not too bad. Oh, there's a cat sitting place here or something. It's not too bad. Here's the thing. You know, being a not rich man, I think that the way to go for me is to stay somewhere where it's cheap, but the location is good. You know, I'm like in the middle of the downtown here, which is great. You walk to wherever I need to go. But, you know, it's not the Ritz. Because that's, I think, in a nice place, a big city, that's half of what you're paying for, right? Is half's the niceness and half is just where you are. So the niceness is not there, but the where I am is coming through for me on a pretty nice level here. Ugh. It's weird, too, I gotta say, because, you know, so when I stay in the hotel, there's a television in every, even the shit hotels have 100 more channels than I do, you know. So I get to, I stay up later because I just start watching it. I don't know how when you have a TV at home, like, when you have cable channels, how do you go to bed at night? There's so much stuff on all night. This is not like, you know, I remember being young, boy. And part of the deal there was, I mean, there wasn't anything good on after, like, 10, probably. But now, all night. I don't mean just for kids, but I mean, like, Food Network, you could watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives all fucking night. You know, I don't... That guy, too, by the way. That guy. Guy Fieri, that guy. Best job in the planet. Right? I mean, holy Christ. Just sit there and... be like, oh yeah, that's a good sandwich. Alright, well, that's it for me, you know? How hard is that? I don't know. I don't know about that guy. I would like to take over his job. I mean, I know everyone probably says that. But I'm gonna include myself in that group. Because holy fuck. Would be awesome. But yeah, I don't know how people are going to bed anymore. I wouldn't. I would never go to bed anymore. I would just say, well, there's all this stuff on TV. You know, I'd be losing my job. I'd be at the reverse job interview, the exit interview, as they put it nicely, and saying, what happened? I'd be like, well, I got cable. Turns out there's shit on all fucking night. All night. You watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, or Top Gear, or anything. I mean... you can watch all night good shows or bad shows, you know. The one downside, I gotta say, oof, there's a fountain right here. It's shooting out water that's like the color of macaroni and cheese. It's orange goo. Wonder if they're doing a Ghostbusters thing here or something. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, there's good and bad shows. I remember being young and we first got... my dad got satellite TV, you know? So we had 500 channels. Which, by the way, TV, stop counting channels that just play music as channels. Those aren't TV, those are radio. So I don't think that we should have to count those in our count of how many channels we're going to be watching. But, you know, we got the channels. And I was real pumped about Cartoon Network, you know, because I was like, cartoons all the time. Nickelodeon at the time would turn into some, you know, Nick at Night,
which was crap. It was not Clarissa Explains It All back then. It was like, see, back then people believed, oh, well, if you have TV all night for kids, they'll watch TV all night. Which I'm not completely disavowed of that notion at this point, but, I mean, who cares? That's my question. But, you know, we would get that thing going. But then at night, what happened with Cartoon Network is it turned into, like, old Hanna-Barbera bullshit at maybe 10 p.m. and just went all night with, like, Top Cat, something like that. So who's going to watch that? All right, well, I'm at this donut place with a plan. So I'll talk to you guys later. Hey, everybody. Hey, sweetheart. Just giving you a call. I just had breakfast, you know, getting ready to head out here. So I was watching, you know, there's a guy seated. Well, first he was seated at the table right in front of me, right? But he's like one of these guys who sits down and starts running the restaurant from his table. That's his command post, you know? So he sits down, and then he has to move some of the stuff from his table to another table. I thought he was going to be there by himself, you know, so he, like, moves his empty cups and stuff to this next door table. Then he's just sitting there, you know, looking pissed off. I mean, not one fucking smile out of this guy. You're out to eat breakfast. That's a good time. I mean, I don't know. I don't usually think that going out to breakfast, that makes me feel very safe. If someone has to give me bad news, they should take me out to breakfast. Because I'd probably be very much tricked into thinking that whatever was happening, I was going to enjoy, you know? So then, he's sitting there, pissed, changing everything around. He moves tables, moves to a different table that's the same. I mean, it's not a different table. But, just... You know, and it's both tables are by a window. I mean, there's no... I was really looking, you know, any difference. I got nothing. So then he gets to, you know, then some relative... It looked like maybe his son was there, you know, and doesn't have any kind smile for that guy either. And then he gets up, he moves again. They have to move to a four-person table, you know. So at this point, I mean, he's been in the restaurant for all of... maybe 5 minutes, and he's moved tables twice. He's just pissed off looking, and he's moving stuff, you know, and then he's like moving place settings back and forth between the tables still. It just doesn't end. It just keeps fucking going like that, you know? And eventually you're just like, okay, alright. I mean, how much... Why are you even here out eating breakfast? That doesn't seem enjoyable to you at all. Seems like a real weird thing to do to me. Yesterday, I went and sat in on one of my favorite shows, RedBarRadio.net. You should go to it if you want. It's very strange because, you know, I listened to this since like 2007 probably. And then you go there and it's all happening. I mean, I didn't know. I didn't have anything to say really. I was just mostly listening. But, you know, I was real nervous about going.
You know, not because, I mean, I didn't think something crazy was going to happen, but because, you know, I was thinking, all right, what if I go and this is no good, you know? Or what if I go and I fucking hate this guy? Because the problem isn't that night. It's not the night that you're there. It's that, you know, okay, this thing that I really like is going to be fucking ruined for me. Like, that would be terrible. That would be the worst thing. So I didn't want that to happen. But it turned out fine. You know, I got there on... took the train way the fuck out there. Walked up to his place. Went in there. It was really weird, you know? It's like, I don't know. It felt a little like watching a TV show in live audience, you know, where you see the backsides of all the sets and shit. But also not. I mean, I think what's part of what I like about this whole talk radio thing is that it's all kind of based in reality, you know? So as much as it was weird, and as much as it was, you know, you're seeing things you don't normally see, it wasn't ridiculously different, you know? It was not completely outside what I expected it to be at any point, which is great. I don't know. It turned out really fun. Ended up being there, so did a show. His shows are 2 hours long, which is pretty long. But then he does after shows. So I was there for 8 hours last night. I got there at 4, left a little after midnight, you know. But it was fun. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I mean, I guess it was worth it, you know. It turned out good for me. I mean, I've heard, you know, Kevin Smith, right? He always talks about, and I don't think he's wrong, but he's always talking about how he doesn't want to meet Wayne Gretzky, right? Because that's his hero. And he's always afraid if he meets Wayne Gretzky, he's not going to live up to the image he has of him in his mind, you know? Which I think is sort of fair, but then I heard this thing... You know, Kevin Smith was always talking about Wayne Gretzky, and it seems like the teachings of Wayne Gretzky got him through some tough times, perhaps. Some Zach and Miri times. And then, though, he was at some event, and, you know, Wayne Gretzky was a surprise guest. You know, he kind of just tried to avoid him, really. I mean, almost went out of his way to avoid him, which I think is going a little too far. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody should be in another city and ride the train for an hour and hang out with, you know, someone they've really watched for years and hang out there for 8 hours. I'm not saying that. But, I don't know, I think you've got to give it a try. Also, you know, I think you just got to be careful about who you pick as your people that you pay attention to. I don't want to say idolize and all that, but... I mean, in his case, idolize. He probably idolizes him too much. I think that's part of the problem. I mean, he's kind of set it up to where no one can live up to that. No one's going to be that for you. That perfect whatever. You know, I was just pretty much hoping to go in and out without, you know, having the show I listen to and be like, I can't listen to this anymore because it just makes me pissed off or sad or whatever. But it was fun. Excellent time, so I don't know, listen to that if you want.
My door is locked, my debts are paid. I'll do the Chicago promenade. My back was turned, I did not see that shadow climbing.
You know, something else I don't understand about this hotel. Strangest faucet I've ever seen. You got the hot and the cold. Knobs, right? But the knob, you know, typically if you open, turn a knob counterclockwise, the water comes on, right? Turn it clockwise, it shuts it off. This one can turn both ways, and both ways turn the water on. And to have it off, you have to have it, you know, right at this sort of middle point. So I don't really even understand the science behind that. I don't even know how that works. If someone challenged me to design something that way, I wouldn't know how to do it. I couldn't do it. I don't think I could make a faucet that worked that way. If I had to. You know, if they were holding a gun to my entire family's head, they lined them all up so one shot would go through all of them. I still don't think I could do it. It might be impossible. It's a feat of terrible building that I couldn't have even, you know, no one could have predicted that someone would be able to pull that one off, I think.
I think of him on New Year's Day and do the Chicago promenade.
Last night on the train, ran into one of these, what we call chatty bums, you know. So I'm on there, he starts chatting me up. How you doing? What are you doing? Where are you from? You know, and he's obviously bummy. I mean, everybody looks kind of bummy on the train at midnight. But you know, he's like drinking a 40 out of the thing. At first, I didn't actually think he was a bum, but then I saw that and I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty bummy. I mean, I don't know, don't most people, you know, drink? If you're drinking on the train, that's when you know. Because if you're not bummy, you can usually make it the train ride without drinking on the train, right? You can at least make it that far. By the way, people here love honking. Love it. Jesus Christ. But anyway, so he starts chatting me up, you know, and he's asking all kinds of shit and can barely understand him. And he keeps wanting to fist bump and stuff. You know, like he'll say something and be like, ha ha ha, and then fist bump. And he keeps going back to, you know, he'll say, oh, you know, well, I don't know, do you have a girlfriend back home? Boyfriend? It's cool if you got a boyfriend, you know. And he just keeps going. Yeah, so he kept going back and forth about that, you know. Are you a girl, guy, you know. I'm cool either way, which is hilarious, because, you know, I'm just thinking, well, I think whether or not you're going to receive a blowjob is probably less based on, you know, me. There's a certain level where it's like, okay, I'm not going to blow a bum. It doesn't matter, the homeless part, that might trump the gay, probably not. But let's put it this way, if it's a lady bum, and she's like, are you straight? And I say, I'm straight. Yeah, there's a lady bum, and that's what happened. And she was like, alright, well, you're straight, I'm a bum, who's a lady, let's bang. I wouldn't be like, yes, what a great idea. I think I'd say, no, I don't think so. I mean, you being a lady is kind of secondary to you being a bum. Also, the pride part is strange. Yeah, I don't know why he was so resistant to just saying it, that he's gay. I mean, he's a bum. To me, I don't know. I mean, you probably just are one and become the other. So you might as well be proud about the one that you just are. You're not going to change that. And then the other one, I don't know. I mean, yeah, he came right out and told me he's a bum and then didn't want to tell me he was gay. It makes no sense. He just had no sense in his whole head, you know? He kept asking me stuff like, are you out here with your sister? I don't know. Maybe he's got weird stereotypes for what, you know, maybe this guy's gay. I'll ask if he's visiting his sister. That's how I'll know. Is that a thing? I don't know. You know, it'd be like, I don't know, if I was trying to, in his warped mind, that's like the same as if I was asking a girl who I thought was gay, like, so, how do you feel about golf, or something like that. I should stop. I don't need to be in his head. That's not gonna go well for anybody. Back in the airport, just had a nice, I was at the bathroom, and there's a guy, you know, guys have this thing where they're really good at taking up, there'll be three urinals in a row, they're really, I don't know what that noise is, I apologize, oh, there's an alarm door, guys have this thing where they're really good at taking up multiple urinals, right, there'll be three in a row, they'll be at the middle one, but they're really occupying all three. Sometimes two, but you'll get a real pro who can do all three. Now there's a certain, sometimes I kind of understand, because they'll be, the urinals are big, close together. You know, if they're super close together, what can you do? But this guy was an all new sort of version of that, which was, he was occupying all three urinals, and he wasn't even urinating. He was standing at the middle one, but he was turned to the one on the left, doing his belt, getting ready. Not even, you know, done peeing. But he's standing, facing directly towards the one on the left, even though he is using the one in the middle, or was. And then he's got a rolling suitcase at the one on the right. So he's got suitcase on the right, his actual body in the center, but he's, you know, penis facing the one on the left. It's like, how, I can't think of a more upsetting thing, too, because really, I don't know, I mean, if you're going to occupy him because you're a shy bladder guy, I get that. That's fine, we can let that happen, and that's a design flaw that you can't be held responsible for, you know, they built them too close together, what can you do? But when you're doing that, and you're just assembling yourself, but I mean, it's funny, it kind of brings together, it's a nice metaphor for the whole the whole airport thing to me. Because really, here's the thing. Sometimes things are bad, and they can't help but be bad, right? But we just go about them with as much dignity as we can. But sometimes things seem bad, and it seems like people are making them bad. You know, the guy when I checked in at security was looking over my boarding pass, like, checking the date and all that, you know, as if I would, I don't know, what he thought I would be doing, coming on an airplane 2 days after my boarding pass expired, I bought a ticket, I mean, I don't, all these things that are meant to do crimes, that I'm like, listen, if I was going to do a crime, I think I would just get well, let's not even go there right now, I'm walking through the airport, but I'm just saying, it doesn't really seem to be that preventative of a whole lot of potential bad things, that's all. It's a little bothersome, because it doesn't seem like it's going to help anybody out a whole lot. I don't know. It's funny that way. Just the airport, too. Oh, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this before, I feel like I must have, but who the fuck is doing that shoe shine thing at the airport? I haven't seen it here in Chicago, but I saw, there's one in Denver. You know, it's the one where the guys sit up on the big podium and the people kneel and shine their shoes. What is that? I mean, who is doing that? Who feels comfortable in that situation? There was a guy who not only looked comfortable, he looked like he was having the time of his life, you know? He looked like getting his shoe shined might be the best thing in his experiences. You know what I mean? I don't understand how you can even stand that. And I have to say, too, I think that, you know, this is a men's thing, right? I mean, I never see ladies doing that, ever. I've never seen a lady at the shoe shine zone. Maybe they don't wear those kind of shoes too often, but it seems like they do. I think it's just not something they do. I don't know. Maybe it's... I mean, if someone wanted to build a case about ladies being more rational than the gents, this would be a good place to start. I would have to listen to that, at least entertain the notion, if you started with a time-lapse video of the guys who sit in the shoe shine thing, because that must be the worst guys. I just hate it. I hate it so much. Stop doing that. You know what I mean? And, okay. If your shoes need to be that shiny, take a little pride and do it yourself. You know what I mean? It's like buying a cabin, and then you hire a guy to come chop the wood for you. Instead of doing it yourself, it's like, isn't that what you... Take some pride. For God's sake. I mean, when someone sees your shiny shoes, you're just like, oh yeah, I had some guy at the airport do that. It was humiliating for both of us. You know, how enjoyable. I always wonder about these travel pillows you see at the airport, the horseshoe donut ones. I don't know. Do you think they work? Do you think they're comfortable? Do you think... I mean, it's part of me thinks it might be a little bit like getting sort of three-quarters strangled. But part of me thinks maybe these are good. I mean, they're everywhere. But maybe they're just making... You know, if everyone who flies buys one once thinking, I wonder if this is a good idea, that would probably be enough. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could use it in the car if you're a car sleeper or... This is the thing. I'm wondering if this makes the difference between being an airplane sleeper or not. That's what I want to know. Because if that made the difference, I'd buy that shit. Because my dream is to just be asleep on the airplane every moment that I'm on there, you know? I kind of pretend that I am. I mean, you could do other shit, but it's not enjoyable. You hate it. We all hate it. So you could just sleep your way through it, that would be much nicer. But on the other hand, you know, and then I go look at one and I'm like, I don't know, it's $16.99. And then you're carrying around something that looks essentially like a sex toy, you know, through the airport, through the check-in. I mean, I guess you could just wear it around your neck the whole time. Like that you might just sit down and pass out at any moment, you know. I guess that can happen. We've all been there. But... I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I get it. It's a little dignity is all I want. That's the, you know, with the check-in. Like I was saying, I just want the dignity at the check-in. There's no... The problem is, like, any situation, you can sort of, I think, dictate your own dignity through preparation, right? Like, if I have to get ready to go to work, I can get up an hour and a half early and go about it at a reasonable pace and have the dignity and whatnot. Or, I can wake up an hour before and, you know, rush and look like a dummy, but it's fine, because I'm not in public. But the airport, I mean, the security line, there's only so far you can go. Because you still have to get out, you still have to take off your shoes, you know, you still have to, and you know, you're watching an old man do the shoe dance to get his shoe back on, to take off your belt. I mean, you go through it like you're, you know, a Holocaust guy. Heading in, they're like, yeah, give us all your stuff of value. I mean, in Denver, they, you know, the guy was like, take your wallet and put it in the thing, you know? I'm like, alright, you've taken my belt, my wallet, my shoes, my hat, my coat. I mean, this doesn't feel right. Something feels wrong. You know, so that's, I don't know. I mean, guess maybe that's a case for travel pillow, because, like, well, what dignity are you trying to preserve at this point? You don't have any dignity. You've kissed that goodbye long ago. Maybe you should just fully... people complain that people are not looking nice when they travel, that they're in sweats and stuff. But, I mean, really, it's easier. I mean, if you're wearing slippers, it's a lot easier to get through. I don't know. Maybe it's something we've brought on ourselves. Maybe they should have a suit line, you know, that's faster. Only people in suits, you know. No ball caps in this line. All that kind of stuff. I wouldn't mind that, actually. If they had a line that was just for not... People who aren't enjoying themselves on their trip,
Or maybe they should have a separate line, you know, departures, you're headed out on vacation, and then returning. So I feel like by the time I'm returning, I'm just like, screw this. I hate my life. You know, I want to get out of here. I just want to go home. Whereas on the way out, you're optimistic. You're full of life. You like things, you know, outside of yourself. And then when you come back, you're just like, I don't want to talk to another taxi driver or bum on the subway ever again. If that happens, I'll just kill myself. I just know it.
A party at the Dead End Alley. Yeah, he told him what to celebrate.
I thought, you know, to do a cyclical sort of podcast thing, it'd be nice to end with a, you know, story my grandma reminded me of from when, back when, you know. She was always big into Halloween. Maybe that's part of why I like Halloween. One year she was Grambo. She was dressed up in, you know, full camouflage and boots and a helmet and everything. And came to the school, which was really great. You know, my parents didn't really come to school very much. I mean, my mom was busy and whatever, so it was nice to have that. And then she was dressed up, and, you know, your other kids in the school are like, oh, look at your grandma, she's cool. She's into Halloween, that's cool as a grandma. And then one year we had this big Halloween party at our house. You know, I don't know why my mom allowed this. I think I talked about this on the Halloween thing. We had a big party, and kids stayed over and whatever, but the kickoff of the party was we built this haunted house in our basement, you know, where we hung up fabric and cardboard and stuff, and kids had to go through it. And greeting them at the beginning was my grandma, who was in full sort of gypsy outfit, and she had this, you know, we took a light fixture off the ceiling and put some stuff in it to make it like a crystal ball and all that stuff. I mean, this was pretty, for being in our basement, it was a good enough production that some of the kids refused to go through. You know, they're like, this is too scary. I mean, it wasn't for me, but, you know, I saw how the sausage was made there, but it was great. So she's all dressed up, you know, she's got this long black witchy looking wig and all that stuff and makeup and doing the fortune teller thing, and then, you know, we all go trick-or-treating, right? But then she stays at my house, and, you know, she was telling the story. She's saying the doorbell rang, and I go to the door, and there's this kid there, you know, and he's turned away from me because he's yelling at his friends, like, come on, guys, there's a house here, someone's here, and he turns around and sees my grandma, and he gasps, you know, and steps back, and then he goes, Jesus Christ, lady, you're gonna give somebody a heart attack dressed like that. He was so scared, and then not scared. But, you know, it's to hear a you know, 8-year-old kid, this, it's like out of a movie or sitcom, you know, Jesus Christ, lady, you're gonna give someone a heart attack, all that kind of stuff. The wizened young boy. But yeah, one time, you know, before, she was a formidable, frightening gypsy fortune teller lady. So that's, yeah, that's my gram. That's the city. I hope you had an enjoyable time here with me, sort of, ish. I had a good time. You know, my GI tract is completely destroyed. I think it's all grease in there. Grease and tar, a very weird mixture of strange foods, rich foods. You know, a lot of walking, like always, a lot of waiting for trains. It's going to seem very quiet at home, which is okay, I think. Thanks again for listening. Hope you keep listening. We're getting real close to that 100th episode, huh? So, thanks for hanging in that long. We'll see you guys soon. Keep going to the website, helpfulsnowman.com. You know, and that helpful snowman, that's Facebook, Twitter, Gmail, all the stuff. Instagram. Anything that you would like. I mean, if you go to the Facebook, it aggregates almost everything. That's a good place to go, but then check the website, too. That's the place where the action happens. All right. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, St. Teresa came to Holly, but I wasn't even at that party. I'd already moved out to New York City. Yeah, when Judas went up and kissed him, and I almost got sick. I guess I knew it was coming. I guess I knew it was coming. We gather our gospels from gossip and bar talking. We declare them the truth. We salvage our sermons from message boards and scene reports. We sick them on the youth. And we try our new testaments on the guy sitting next to us. And the bars with the bars and the windows are light. And if enough we talk, you get converted tonight. To be honest.